All right, we're back. We're back, ladies and gentlemen. What's up, man? Welcome to Tariq Radio. We had a little technical difficulty issue a few seconds ago, but we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. Can you guys hear me? Everything good? Can you guys hear me straight? Because we had some technical stuff going on. Oh, but I'm here, ladies and gentlemen. So let everybody know that we're live now. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. Let everybody know we're doing our thing right now. How's the sound? We good? There was a button I didn't push earlier, but I got it pushed now, baby. So we're here. So listen, let's take that quick commercial break. We will be right back after these messages right here on Tariq Radio. Don't you move a muscle.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game. Jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Are you a black male new to the corporate environment and you don't know what to expect? Are you tired of not getting the credit you deserve at work? Are you fed up with office politics? Are you being sabotaged by coworkers? Are you often stressed at the office? Do you wish there was a better way to solve problems in the workplace? If so, look no further than A Black Man's Guide for Working in Corporate America. That's a book by author Ken Woods. It gives a comprehensive guide on how to navigate your way through the workplace, and it gives specific examples on problems that you might encounter and provides suggestions and strategies on how to solve them. So get the book right now, A Black Man's Guide for Working in Corporate America, available right now on Amazon. Family, you need to check out this new movie that's coming out called New Orleans 2030. This is a brand new documentary film that's coming out by filmmaker Tyrese Terrell McKnight. And this is a film that talks about the black population decreasing every year in New Orleans because of gentrification that's on the rise. And it talks about how the city is going to look in 2030. The film features politicians, state representatives, council members, and other people in office, and it's a very deep film about how gentrification harms the black community in these cities like New Orleans. So you can check out the movie at the Joy Theater in New Orleans, premiering June 10th, 2023 at 7 p.m. Get tickets at universe.com or get it from Instagram, Truth the Filmmaker, Instagram at Truth the Filmmaker right now.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can't defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at ogoonjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Ogoon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Okay. You are now tuned into the legendary OG. Tariq Nasheed.
I want to apologize to all my friends.
On Tariq Radio.
Where is Tariq getting all this cash?
Oh, we're back. We're back, and I'm your host. Oh, I'm your host, Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have y'all tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. I am your gracious host, and we're going to make it do what it do. Let me turn the music down a little bit so y'all can feel me. How's everything sounding, guys? Let me make sure everything is sounding good. Let me make sure my sound is because I'll be going off doing what I do, and I got to make sure the technicals are where they're supposed to be. So how we doing, guys? How we doing?
I'm your host.
We good, everybody? Sound-wise, just want to make sure before I get into what I do. All right? Shout out to everybody who got their Ogoon Juice Pepper Spray at ogoonjuice.com, by the way. That's where you can get your Ogoon Juice Pepper Spray. Oh, man, we in here. A lot of folks are coming in the room heavy already. We're good on the sound. Sounds great. Much better. I love it. I love it. Love it. Y'all can hear me great. Love it, ladies and gentlemen. Before I get started, family, you do know this Saturday here in Flossscandalous, Los Angeles, we got a big event happening at the legendary Hidden History Museum. We have a Juneteenth barbecue bash. Man, we are halfway sold out. Well, we're over, we're damn near over halfway. Almost, we're getting close to being sold out. It's a big event. A lot of folks are coming, family, because we're going to have complimentary food, complimentary gift bags, great music. We're going to be partying it up. And also, we're going to have great comedy. We're going to have a lot of great comedians perform. It's going to be a great, great night at the Hidden History Museum this Saturday night, starting at 7 p.m. in Los Angeles. Go to HiddenHistoryMuseum.com, ladies and gentlemen. HiddenHistoryMuseum.com to get your tickets to join us, ladies and gentlemen. But listen, listen. Before I get into the main topic, because there's a lot of stuff we got to tap into, a few things we got to touch on that's going on in the news cycle out here that I want to touch on. Did you guys see the John Gotti Jr.? Is it the Gotti Mayweather thing? They had an exhibition fight. Did you guys see some of the clips of that? The Gotti family. I didn't even know the dude was a boxer. He was a, was Gotti, is he like the grandson of John Gotti? I don't know what the deal is. But the crime family, the one of the kids or the sons, he's a boxer. And then he fought Mayweather, and Mayweather was giving him that work. Mayweather was putting FBA hands on him. John Gotti the third, yeah. Somebody said they were there. So he's putting FBA hands on John Gotti III. And he kept, John Gotti III kept trying to hem our brother up. It's the grandson, right? He kept trying to hem our brother Floyd up. He kept trying to hold him and put him in little headlocks and trying to cheat, basically. You know, these white supremacists got to win however they got to win. So he kept holding Floyd. The ref said, hey, you can't keep doing that. You can't keep doing that. And the ref called the fight. The ref said, hey, the fight is over. Giving it to Floyd. Said, you know, let me get on camera. Should I get on camera, guys? Let me get on camera with you guys. There we go. How about that? Let me get on camera with the family. All right. How about that? I'll just get on camera with y'all. Let me get it. Let me get in the room with you and chop it up. So these people, when it comes to Floyd, these people will fight dirty. They'll do anything they can to just get the appearance of any kind of win. Oh, they're so desperate to kind of to take Floyd down. Any, if they can cheat, they will do so. I'm telling you, these people are desperate. If they get in a good cheat lick, that's a win to them. And old boy tried to get in some cheat licks. Because these white supremacists understand with them how cowardly they are, a win is a win. So the fight was called. So he gonna still try to fight Mayweather like on a street brawl type of thing after the fight was called. So he gonna run up on Floyd and try to throw his hands, and Floyd still clocked him a little bit. Floyd still got him. So then, you know, the entourage jumped all up in the mix. Yeah, and still lost. Yeah, the entourage jumped up in the mix. Shout out to the money team. You know, shout out to the money team. They came and deaded all of that. It wasn't about to be none of that. Yeah. So, now after the fight, the Gotti daughter, Nicolette Gotti, is that the granddaughter or the daughter? So she's getting on social media, throwing threats out to Mayweather's daughter. And throwing some racist BS out there with it. Let me find the message she sent. Hold on. Let me find that real quickly. Where is that? So she starts talking crazy. All right. So the Gotti family members are threatening Mayweather's family. Let me go here. Yeah, John Gotti's, his sister, John Gotti the third sister. She's like, yeah, I'm coming for your daughter. What'd she say? You all are a pack of zoo animals. I swear on my kids, I'm coming for your daughter. It might be 2 years, 3 years from now, but I'm coming. And I think she used the aunt word. So what did she say about, your daughter was ran through by an animal with 12 different baby mamas. Your little circus animal. You're all a pack of zoo animals. I swear on my kids, I'm coming for your daughter. Kiss all of our asses, Gotti. And this is why black people stop with all that trying to give yourself some type of, especially rappers, give yourself Italian names, all that Gotti stuff. The Gotti family, they've always been a bunch of damn racists. Black people, yeah. Irv Gotti and all of that. Y'all cut that Gotti stuff out. These are people you don't want to be like. The Gotti family, they've always been a pack of damn racist ass degenerates. They've always been racist. Going back to John Gotti. John Gotti was racist as hell. That's why he got his ass whooped in prison in the 90s. Did y'all know that? A brother, what's that brother's name? Walter, I forgot what the brother's name was, but a brother whooped his ass. A brother whooped John Gotti's ass. John Gotti, I think John Gotti called him a nigger in prison, and the brother put them hands and feet on his ass. And Gotti was in prison. He was clicked in with the damn Aryan Nation. He had to get with the Aryan Nation for protection, and then the Aryans turned on him because he wasn't paying them what he was supposed to pay them. Y'all better do some research about that damn John Gotti, man. He was clicked in heavy with them damn Aryans. Yeah, he missed some payments, and they were like, well, hey, you know, things going, you know, if something happened to you, something's going to happen to you. Yeah? But yeah, brother put them FBA hands on him. An FBA brother put hands and feet on him in prison, lit his ass up. Yeah. So yeah, these aren't people that you're supposed to try to have an affinity for. And are they trying to get back on the mafia-controlled boxing tip where they're going to try to muscle in on black fighters? Are they going to try that again like they used to do back in the 40s and 50s? Yeah, they did that back in the day. You know, the Italian crime families would control boxing to a certain degree, but understand some of our FBA family, they stood up to that. Everybody wasn't going along with that, particularly our good brother, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yes, they tried that stuff with Ali. Remember, Ali was clicked in with the Nation. He was clicked in and protected by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and none of that bullshit was going to go down. Yeah, they tried it. Elijah Muhammad and those brothers shut all of that down. You ain't pinching Ali at all. You ain't pinching him for nothing. Yeah. So I guess they're trying that old thing now. They're trying to go back old school where they're going to intimidate black boxers. Stop it. And they got mad that the money team went in there and started putting hands and feet on old boy and the trainers and all of that. Huh? Yeah, they see brothers are not scared. That's what they're upset with. Oh, you're a pack of animals. How they're a pack of animals and your dumbass brother gonna sit up here and try to cheat fight? And they're a pack of animals? Yeah, he got hands and feet put on him. He gonna try to fight, do a street fight after the fight was called. Because yeah, he didn't get to cheat on his own. Yeah? Yeah, didn't Larry Hoover get at them Italian mafia guys back in the day? Larry Hoover shut some of that bullshit down too. Shout out to King Hoover up there in Chicago. Free King Hoover. Huh? So yeah, a lot of us weren't going for the Okie Doke family. Yeah, a lot of us were not going for that damn Okie Doke. Shout out to the Money Team for being on top of that. And I know several brothers from the Money Team. My hat goes off to you for being on top of that. Shout out to y'all. All right. Speaking of performances, did y'all see this whole thing between Anita Baker and Babyface? It's like a beef, but it's really one-sided. They were on tour, and Anita Bacon. I like Anita Bacon. I love Babyface. I'm big fans of both. And Anita Baker, you know, tried to kind of flex on Babyface. And it's kind of some BS, I think, on Anita Baker's part. I think this was BS on her part. She got mad at Babyface talking about what his fans said to her. Some shit he ain't really have anything to do with. So she's mad at Babyface because Babyface went on social media. And this is what it is. He went on social media and they're on tour and he had to apologize to his fans. He's like, hey, fans, some of y'all been waiting for us to hit the stage at this venue. I was asked not to perform in order to give Miss Baker her space and time to perform her show in its entirety. My band and I are extremely saddened. We didn't get to perform. So, yeah, Anita got kind of mad because some of the fans, I guess, went after her. And then she got on. Like, when a friend is being attacked, your friends, because of misinformation, fake news, say it correctly. So she's putting up some memes. Dearest one, you are not privy to the contracts. Yes, Babyface is a special guest support act on my tour. The false narrative of a co-headliner is creating unrealistic expectations. So this is ego right here. So she wants it to be known that Babyface is only the headliner. I mean, he's only the opening act for her. He's not the co-headliner. You dig? They love to call your name and stand in your light when it's not even your light. Call his name, the light, and his... Okay, this is Anita. No. Okay. So, yeah, you know what this is? Let me tell you what this is. Let me tell you what this is, man. This is ego right here. Listen. You know what that is? Yeah, they say he's too old for that. Let me tell you something, man. Sometimes there's some women, dude, who hate to see a brother, especially when they get a certain age, that you hate to see the thought, or you hate the thought of a black man outshining you. You dig? That's what that's about. Sometimes, man, there's some women out here who, you know, you want to be the belle of the ball. I'm gonna say she right though, but he can be a headliner, but you know, Babyface is a big act and people want to see him. So people are like, well, damn, you know, we came to see Babyface too. And that's what she don't like. People want to see Babyface. If I went to an Anita Baker show, I would want to see Babyface too. But a lot of these people, man, the thought of a man getting in it, taking some shine away from you, that messes with their ego. Yeah. That messes with people's ego sometimes. How is this man going to outshine me? Especially when you get older, you know. You want to be the belle of the ball. And you don't want no dude coming along and taking your shine. So a lot of women feel a certain way about that sometimes. They don't like to be second fiddle at all. They'll try to sabotage some shit if they feel like they're going to be second fiddle to a man. You know, that's ego. You know, that's ego stuff. You know, and look, performers try to pull that all the time. They tried to pull that with Luther Vandross back in the day. I think Luther was on tour with En Vogue or something like that. And I think they tried to pull something like that with Luther. Do y'all remember back in the day there was something going on with En Vogue? There was a beef with En Vogue and Luther Vandross. I forgot what the details were. Hold on, let me see if I could look some. Hold on. There was something going on with them, and I think it was around the same thing. What was it about? He had a major beef with them. I understand it was a really big beef in Vogue, you know, they were saying he was a nasty tyrant and all of that stuff. What the hell was it about? I'm looking up some stuff now, but I do remember back in the day, we've been having a lot of problems with Luther. Okay, hold on. Yeah, they called him Lucifer Vandross, and it was a whole big thing back in the day. Hold on. I'm looking up some of the old articles now because this was way back in the day. They said Luther was mean. No, the thing is, yeah, I don't know. I wasn't there. But here's the thing. hold on, let me look it up. Let me throw a link up here real quick. They said Luther was mean. Here's something about it. Wait, where is it? Where is it? In Vogue on why Luther was a nasty tyrant. Where is this? Luther, they talked about him in a book. They described him as nasty and a tyrant. We've been having a lot of problems with Luther. Our nickname for him was Lucifer. They explained why they suddenly quit his tour. She confirmed he will put the curtains up backstage to avoid looking at them. They don't come on my side. I don't want to see your faces. You can't wear costumes. Brooklyn. Okay. All right. So yeah, they were beefing back in the day. Yeah. They were. I remember this. I remember this where Luther and En Vogue were beefing, and you know they probably, you know what it was. What it was, they probably tried to do the whole thing where, you know, they're going to try to outshine Luther. Maybe he had it. No. You know, again, women don't want to be outshined by a dude. So they probably tried to outshine Luther. The problem is Luther was the flaming queen. So he's like, the only bitch that's going to be shining in here is me. Yeah, Luther was a flaming queen. Luther's like, I'll out-bitch all of you. So yeah, so that's what it was. Oh yeah. So Luther was like, we're not gonna play that game. You know, because En Vogue, that's when they were, En Vogue was En Vogue back in those days. En Vogue was very fine. You know, so you got four fine ass women, you know, they're gonna come in the room and they're gonna outshine shit. Luther said, not on my watch, hoes. Not on my watch. There's only one bitch who's in charge on this tour, and that's and that's gonna be Mr. Luther. Love Luther, legend, but Luther was a flaming queen, and everybody knew that. That was kind of an open secret. That's our brother, legendary. No, I mean, let's keep it a bug. Yeah, Luther said, no, I'm not the one to play with like that. No, play that bullshit with somebody else. You're not going to come in here and try to outshine me and do little passive aggressive stuff, because that happens on tour. People come and they see the background dances of somebody else, and then they'll try to dress like them or outdress them, and they'll do certain stuff. They will even still move. So people, when they go on tour, a lot of times they're very competitive. That was going on with Rick James and Prince back in the day. That's why Rick James and Prince, they kind of clashed, because Prince was getting a lot of game and stage presence and crowd response moves from Luther. Prince learned a lot of stuff from Luther and then incorporated that in his set. And then, Rick James, I'm sorry. Prince learned from Rick James, incorporated a lot, because Rick was the guy, man. Y'all got to understand, Rick James was that dude. Rick James was that guy, yeah? So, you know, Prince got a lot of game, and a lot of artists got a lot of game from Rick James. Rick James was a phenomenal performer, man. Rick James put a lot of people on as far as how to really present yourself. My good brother Charlie Wilson said he was very much influenced by Rick James. You know, Rick James, very underrated, yeah. And Prince started to incorporate a lot of Rick's stuff, and Rick felt a certain way about him. And yeah, because Rick came up with the idea of having a sexy girl group, and then Prince jumped on it before he did and started Vanity Six. And then Rick James, he was already in the process of doing the Mary Jane Girls, but they came out after Vanity Six, you see. And Rick James knew Vanity. I think he was possibly going to get Vanity to be in the group, because Vanity is from up there in Canada somewhere. And Rick, you know, he was up there in Canada for a minute. So it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. But yeah, those tours are very competitive. Yeah, it's a very competitive thing on tour, man. Yeah. But I digress. We got a lot of folks in here, man. We're in here deep right now. We are in here deep. Now listen, since we're in here deep, don't forget to get your tickets for the Juneteenth celebration at the Hidden History Museum in Los Angeles. The Juneteenth barbecue bash. We got a lot of great food. We're going to have complimentary food. We're going to have complimentary gift bags for all the guests. We got Chef Marilyn's going to be catering. She's a well-known soul food restaurateur here in Los Angeles, our FBA sister. I'm going to be hosting, my brother Duan B is going to be hosting. We got comedians like Courtney Black, the legendary Scruncho. It's going to be off the chain. There's so many other comedians that's going to be performing, man. So you don't want to miss that. But let's get into the main topic. Y'all ready to do that? Let's get into the main topic, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get into the main topic. We're talking about Sukihana and stank traps. And brothers, because we got to get into some game. A lot of my shows have been very gamified. We got to get into some more game. We got to really tighten this game up. Fellas got to stop falling for stank traps. You got to stop falling for the stank traps. And what's a stank trap? Some people are like, what the hell is a stank trap? A stank trap is when you get a female who acts real stank and acts super slutty and has this very aggressive sexual energy. And then what happens is dudes will publicly try to match that energy. And then that's the trap. You can't get out here trying to match that stank energy like that. Like you're going to out-freak her publicly. A lot of dudes fall for that and then you get caught up. Y'all stop falling for the stank traps. Because see, the thing is with this Suki lady, she's rapper. She's on Love and Hip Hop, almost like an internet troll. I mean, she's done some OnlyFans stuff. There's some sexual stuff out there with her. So I want y'all to understand this. Guys, when the people like Suki gets out here and everything is so overtly, aggressively sexual, she has a dozen videos of her talking about how much dick she can take and how much she can suck this. And she got a song about eating dudes' ass and I eat ass. And everything is just over the top, stanky sexual. And also when she does a lot of interviews, her interviews are very sexually aggressive to the male host, to the point where it looks like she's sunning them to a certain degree. Now, she said she's Nigerian. I don't know. She said she has some Nigerian coochie, so I don't know. She may or may not be Nigerian. I don't know. She says a lot of stuff. But this Suki lady, she goes on interviews, and she's always almost challenging dudes sexually, sunning them to a certain degree. Yeah? So now, when she comes around, I guess guys don't want to seem sunned by her and her overt sexuality. So dudes are now doing this thing where they're trying to out-sexualize her verbally. When she comes around, they start talking about all the stuff they're going to do to her and how much dick they're going to give her and all of that. Y'all got to cut that out. Fellas, don't do that, because now guys are getting into some hot water for doing that. You can't do that. You can't fall for the stank traps, guys, because they can always flip on you. And also girls who do all of that, I can do this and I'm gonna give you that and I'm gonna, usually they're boring in bed. Usually they, all of that is performative. Usually it's all performative. You know, it's all for attention. It's all performative. It's all to get a click. And y'all have to understand that. That's to get a click. So y'all men, y'all don't fall for that nonsense. Y'all don't go up there trying to kiss on her. See, what happened was a rapper, YK Osiris, there was some kind of celebrity basketball game and Suki was there. And he's up here trying to kiss the woman in the damn mouth. And she's, you know, looking uncomfortable. Hold on, let me play a clip of that. So now, guys got to chill on that. So this is YK Osiris. Hold on one second. Hold on. So dude, No, this is what you don't do, bro. So he's trying to kiss on her and she's, you know, turning away and, you know, that's not a good look. That ain't cool. Listen, fellas. just because a woman acts or wants to portray herself as super slutty or whatever, still boundaries. You got to chill. Yeah? Y'all better chill on that. Just because she's going out here acting super stank, there's still boundaries there, dude. You got to chill on that. You don't run up and, no. Because again, all of that super slutty stuff, that's mostly performative stuff. That's mostly performative. And also, you don't know where that woman's mouth has been, dude. What's wrong with you? No? So yeah, dude, YK Osiris, dude, they're going to use you as the Me Too poster boy. Look, the white feminists don't give a shit about her, but they know how to use the slutty negresses. They know how to use them for their advantage. You know, they'll let the negresses get out here, and I'm calling her a negress because I'm not going to put her in the black woman category. Damn that. Because that's another problem. We chop these women up with that stank behavior as a part of black women culture. No. That's a negress. That's a plantation negress. She does not represent black women in any shape, form, or fashion. She's not the representative of black women. That's a stereotype that they like to put on black women. I'm not going to allow them to do that because most black women are repulsed by her behavior. But even though has the super slutty persona, nobody deserves to be pushed up on against their will. You understand? Yeah, you don't do that. You know, yeah, they're going to come for dude, and they already got the articles out talking about he sexually harassed her, and she's going to go with the program, too. She's going to go with that program. You think? She is going to go with the program. Look at some of the articles that's out here. Look at this. Look at some of the articles out. YK Osiris accused of sexual assault. All of these mainstream, they couldn't wait to jump on that. YK Osiris accused of sexual assault after forcefully kissing Sookie at an event. Man, you just gave meat to the wolves. You just gave meat to the wolves, man. And again, with Sookie, she does these interviews and she's very sexually aggressive to the male host. So a lot of guys think, well, damn, if she's doing all that, let me match that energy. No. Yeah, no. And there was another interview where she was on, I think, Candy's broadcast, and the dude sitting there with Candy, he's talking very sexually aggressive to her, and then I think he shows her a dick pic on his phone. Whoa. Sorry. Hold on. So, yeah, this guy here, I think he shows her a dick pic on the phone or something like that. Hold on.
I don't know. I don't know what happened to my body, but everyone feels good.
Hold on, let me turn the sound on, guys. Hold on 1 second. Hold on, listen to this. Hold on, let me see what's going on here. Hold on.
To it either, you beautiful amphibian, sitting, you piss nothing, bitch. I love you.
Amphibian? What is that?
Don't listen to him. That's his compliment.
Okay, what was this? Okay. So I'm trying to find, okay. Well, he shows her a dick pic. Hold on.
I make that pussy spit, and I know it do. I watched you walk in this motherfucker.
So you can tell by my walk?
I can tell by your walk that pussy spit.
Hey, you a country nigga, where you from?
I'm from Atlanta, Georgia. Camden Road, to be exact. What's happening with you? I don't smell your pussy. I don't put my face in your pussy. You say, super with the good coochie, you know what I'm saying? You talking about how good that motherfucker smell and all that? You can go to the bed and I can come back and
you
give
you. You want to smell my ass?
I might put my tongue down that motherfucker.
Oh my gosh, A1.
But we going to start with the sniffing.
You are aggressive.
She love that shit, man. Look at her.
I don't.
You love that shit.
No, I mean after, like, during sex maybe, but, you know, that's not... Not right now.
Now, all that shit you talk.
Yeah, see, yeah, that's why y'all get it twisted.
Hold on.
Dude, okay. Come on, guys. Y'all better understand the stank traps. Y'all think she's talking all that slutty talk. Oh, yeah, she talk all that stuff, so she gonna like it when I talk it. I'm an out slut talker. No. Not a good look, guys. That's what you don't do. You don't get out here and then try to out-freak her. No. Fellas, Let me tell y'all something. Give y'all some game. The women who talk all that freaky shit, they don't like doing all that for real. They don't really like doing all that. It's a performative. It's a performance, dude. And there's a lot of contempt they have because a lot of them don't really like being in the game like they don't like to have to depend on stank sexuality in order to make a buck. So there's a lot of contempt there. They don't like it. You know who likes that? The square girls like that. They like that. But you gotta, and just like her, she says, yeah, I like it, but not now. I like it when during sex. Don't be game, goofy. Yeah, they don't like, they don't like niggas walking up to them talking all of that stuff. Y'all better understand that. And again, y'all better understand that they have an advantage. They set up a stank trap for you and then flip it and become victims. Oh, damn. Y'all victimized me. Oh, God. Yeah, I know I rap about licking ass and all of this, but oh, my God, I'm just a performer. You dig? They can flip it on you. You just fell for the stank trap. Don't fall for stank traps. Stank traps have been going on for a long time. Do not fall for them stank traps, dude. Yeah. Because, see, a lot of times now, see, we live in a culture now where the stankness has been normalized. And the stanks get a certain level of protection to a certain degree. If you act overtly stanky, you can get protection to a certain degree. So the stanks are being protected, and the square girls who are not stank, they're getting shamed. You got girls out here now who are being shamed for not being a stank. Did y'all see the story about this girl who is basically, she's a Home Depot employee. She went viral, a girl named Ariana. I think she's in Texas somewhere. Very cute girl. She posted a very innocent picture of herself working at Home Depot. This is Ariana. She's like, yeah, the one job I work at that I get reminded that I'm too pretty to work at. So she took this picture and posted it, and boy, people went nuts. Oh, they went nuts. You know, people, dudes all in her DMs, and then she started making videos where she's quoting Bible verses. And then people are like, hey, what the hell is wrong with you, girl? There's money on the table. Girl, do you know how much money you can make doing OnlyFans? And you had all of the stanks and the whores and the funky butts out here trying to shame this woman for not doing OnlyFans and for not getting flued out. Like, damn, bitch, you leaving the money on the table. She's like, well, you know, damn, I'm, you know, I like working my little square job and reading the Bible. Everybody jumped on the girl to the point where she had to quit her job because people were doxing her job. I mean, they were just horrible towards this sister for no reason. Beautiful sister, just very horrible towards her. And she, where's the clip of her basically having to quit her job? Hold on, let me play this clip of her talking about how she had to bounce. Where is this? Right here. Hold on one second. Hold on.
As y'all probably know me as the Home Depot girl, the girl who went viral, and just talk about how God is really testing my life right now and just testing my faith and trying to keep my patience in Him and just trust that there's a bigger thing coming out of all this. Since I blew up on the internet, I have had so much backlash, good and bad. Like, it's been a lot of good, but you know, you also have that percentage of bad. Like, everybody on Twitter hates me for what? I don't know. Like, I literally don't know, just because I stood up for myself, and that's fine. And then Instagram's really cool. And then, you know, other situations that have happened throughout this whole process that have just kind of been crazy. But I literally had to kind of quit my job in this process because of how much I grew and how many people actually seen this. And people were illegally doxing my address and also figuring out where I worked because...
Now, that's pathetic to do this girl like that, all because she ain't acting like no stank. Even DJ Academic said something slick about her. Like, yeah, she need to monetize this. Yeah, she need to brand herself. Yeah, if she ain't got no money after a week, she's a loser. Dude, maybe the woman don't want to put herself out there like that. Maybe she likes being a little cool Christian square girl. That's fine. everybody ain't gotta chase a sexual dollar. Yeah. So she's respectable, works a respectable job. She sits up here doing Bible quotes, and she doesn't want to do OnlyFans. Like, what the hell is wrong with this bitch? This bitch crazy. But this is how backwards we are. Because see, the thing is, this is what the anger is. Let me tell you what the anger is. The anger is a form of jealousy because see, that girl, she got attention by doing something square and being herself, fully clothed. Hey, look at me at my job. And got all the attention of everybody. Even Shaquille O'Neal was in her DMs giving her support. All right, Shaq. Shaq was in there giving her support. So this woman had all the dudes, all eyes on her. She didn't have to pull her titty out. She didn't have to twerk. She didn't have to do nothing stank. She didn't have to rap about her coochie, nothing. She just took a picture. Hey, look at that. Hey, guys, I'm at work in the bathroom. And then she got all of that attention and all of the decrepit, dirty, stomp down stanks got real mad. Like, damn, I got to get out here on OnlyFans and put different items in my offices in order to get a couple of dollars. And all this bitch had to do was take a picture in the bathroom and everybody's on her. That's jealousy. That's jealousy because she ain't got to stank it up in order to get somebody to look at her. Yeah? No, she's going to be good. She's going to be good because, see, now this is another wave, see? Because the stank market has been oversaturated. The stank market has been oversaturated. There's so many stanks now. When we see a girl who's not stank, who's normal, she stands out more now. So now there's a tide that's being switched now, which is good. And I'm not even knocking the stanks, but damn, the stank market is flooded. It's flooded right now. Yeah? And she seemed like a very nice girl. So, you know, if she chooses to, she can flip the game and use this as an influence if she chooses to. If she doesn't, if she wants to live a low-key, square life, that's fine. That's fine. Everything ain't about chasing some dollar here or there, whatever. If she wants to live her square life, that's fine. But she's going to be good. But just the anger towards her, just understand where that's really, really coming from. Just understand where the anger is really, really coming from, them labeling this woman some kind of villain because she's basically living a square life. Speaking of square, Zion Williamson, I talked about him the other day. I was talking about he was dealing with the porn chick and then he got with his baby mother. And I'm thinking she was a square chick. And then I found out she ain't no square chick. That's a damn... He was a stripper from the damn Blue Flame in Atlanta. All my Atlanta people hit me up like, hey, that chick ain't no square. She busted open at the Blue Flame. So I'm like, I was trying to give Zion the benefit of the doubt. I didn't know that this nigga went and knocked up a damn stripper. He left a porn chick to knock up a stripper. I didn't know he was that game goofy. I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm thinking, my nigga, you left the porn chick to get a square bra. That nigga jumped out the water and right into the frying pan. That nigga went and knocked up a stripper. Not just a stripper, but a stripper from the Blue Flame. Not the Blue Flame. Did she do porn too? And then they said she was doing some kind of credit scams down in Atlanta. Like, really, nigga? Really, Zion? Really? Damn, brother. And I couldn't see in her picture, she was doing like a slick hoe move where she was covering her face. In her picture, that's why I really couldn't get a good look at her. And then I saw what she looked like and I've seen pictures of her before. Let me tell you a hoe move that a lot of hoes would, I'm not denigrating the woman. Hold on, where's the picture? Hold on. Let me show you the picture of Zion Williamson's and his baby's mother. Zion. hold on. Let me show y'all something. Like, nigga, you knocked up a stripper from the damn Blue Flame, man. Okay. So, this is why I couldn't really... She did one of these moves. In the picture, right here. This picture here where she cover her face. So you can't really see. That's kind of a hoe move. You know, hoes get around ballers and they want to be low key. They take a picture and on a subconscious level, on a subliminal level, they cover their face. That's kind of a subliminal move, like, hey, you know, I'm about to make a come up right now and I don't want the streets to recognize me. That's that move. Yeah, I'm about to come up on a bag right now and I don't want nobody from the streets to recognize me. So you take pictures, you're taking pictures like that. Yeah, it's to lessen the possibility of people from the streets recognizing your ass. Yeah, no face, no case. Yeah, that's a subliminal hoe move. Yeah, you're coming. Yeah, the whole track. You're coming in there with glasses on. You're coming in there with a yeah. That's an old hoe move. I would see the old hoes back in the day doing that. Some of the girls we knew from the streets, they catch them a good trick somewhere, then they'll show up. They'll show up somewhere in a disguise. They show up like, hey guys, yes, table for two, please. Hey, is that Regina? Shut up, nigga. I'm a Muslim now, nigga. Shut up. They covering up. They coming there with a disguise. Oh, you trying to get a bag. Oh, I see. Okay, I got it. Oh, yeah. They coming there with a disguise. They don't want nobody to know. Okay, all right. I see you. Oh, yeah, that was a classic hoe move. I didn't recognize old girl. After I saw her pictures, I said, oh, I've seen her. Oh, I've seen her before. There's videos of his baby mama fighting chicks. And oh, so that's why she was covering that face. Like, geez. All right, don't recognize a bitch. Oh, she was slick. She got me. Oh, she got me. Oh, yeah, that's an old hoe move right there. Oh, yeah. I done been out and I've seen some chicks out with some white dudes and like, that Shireen? Oh, nigga. Oh, get the fuck out of here, nigga. I'm working, nigga. Move. Okay, all right. Like, why are you wearing a turban and a burqa? Oh, yeah, y'all, women, y'all know. Where you at, ladies? Some of y'all women been in the game. Y'all show up somewhere to the club. You show up in disguise. You got a Persian man, a Persian oil baron with you, and your ass show up. Your ass show up like this. Like, wait a minute. Your eyes look familiar. Wait a minute. Your eyes. Wait a minute. I'm like, wait, is that Daphne? No, nigga. Delilah. Hamini. Hamya. Hamya. Like, get that damn burqa off, bitch. You were just at the damn juke joint the other day. You were just at the trap house the other day. Now you sitting here with a burqa on. Fuck you doing? All right, let me not mess your bag up. So yeah, old girl that was with Zion, she's not a square at all. She's not a square. She was hiding herself. You know? She was hiding, and I'm not even mad at you. Get your money. Because this nigga Zion seems like a very good trick. This nigga is ripe for the pickings. Man. But listen, speaking of people fumbling bags, Jocelyn Hernandez, they were fighting, speaking of the Floyd Mayweather fight, they were out there fighting behind the scenes at the Floyd Mayweather fight. And Jocelyn Hernandez got arrested and people were talking about her mugshot stats and they were talking about this. This is something that we always known. This is her mugshot. She got arrested for fighting and her race is white. People are like, wait, She's white? She classifies herself as white? Yes. Y'all better understand that, man. Let me tell y'all, man, most people who are Latino or Latina, they classify themselves as white. Most of them do. Don't let nobody fool you. This is something we keep seeing over and over and over again. Most of them classify themselves as white, dude. That's what it is. All that brown, most of them classify themselves as white. They do. It'd be jet black and still classifying themselves as white. Yeah? That's why y'all better stop all that black and brown stuff. Yeah, Jocelyn was going around smacking everybody. Yeah, Jocelyn was kind of shaming Amber Rose about being black or white or whatever. And Jocelyn was talking about how black she was, but again, behind closed doors, you know, they put white. So we got to understand that. Ain't no black and brown. Ain't no black and brown. That's why when we talk about the hip hop thing, we better understand when people are trying to colonize the game. And again, we're getting ready to start filming that documentary I've been talking about. That's going to be a major thing. We have a lot of these Latinos that are very upset about us filming that already. They're already mad about it. Because they know we're going to tell the truth. That whole black and Latino 50-50 bullshit, we're throwing that out the window because it ain't true. Because I've been telling people, that whole narrative of blacks and Latinos 50-50, that's a very dangerous narrative. Number one, because it's not true. Number two, you allow other people to colonize our foundational black American culture. And then number three, you give them a green light to just take over it, because what they want to do, and I've been telling y'all, the name of the game is for them to say that we actually got hip hop from them. That's what it's all about. The name of the game is for them to ultimately say we actually got some of the tenets of hip hop from the Puerto Ricans. Let me show y'all this. This right here, there was something. This website, this hip hop website was like, yeah, in honor of Puerto Rican Day Parade, we celebrate the significant contributions of Puerto Ricans to hip hop. If you're Boricua, this one's for you. And I asked the question, what did these guys in the picture contribute? And then you had a couple of Puerto Rican dudes hopping in the mix. This guy right here, he's a Puerto Rican dude. He starts talking about Fabel Pabon, the originator of fat shoelaces. So he said that it was a Puerto Rican who created the whole thing of B-boys wearing fat shoelaces. And there's other people who hopped in the mentions like, oh, that's bullshit. Black people were wearing the fat laces already in the Bronx, so that's not true. But we got to watch them. This is what I'm saying. Yeah, they'll go, that's how desperate they are. They're going to shoelaces. Well, yeah, we created shoelaces. That's big shoelaces. That's what we created. And also, and that's not even true, by the way. Again, they're trying to get to something where they can say, we got it from them. Now, remember that one Puerto Rican writer named Colon, Derek Colon, he tried to say, and many others, they've tried to say, right here, what these guys are doing, the B-boy stand, that comes from Puerto Ricans. All right? I've heard many of them try to say the B-boy stance that's known in hip-hop actually comes from Puerto Ricans, which is horse crap. Do y'all understand? This is why we have to control the narrative. Yeah? But the B-boy stance. No, it didn't. The B-boy stance didn't come from no damn Puerto Ricans. The B-boy stance came from the Nation of Gods and Earths. That came from the 5%ers. What about New York people? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Right around the time the rise of hip hop was happening, the rise of the 5% nation and their tenants was happening. Clarence 13X, the originator, founder of the 5%ers, he died in 1969, I think, right? He got killed in 69. Right after he got killed, a lot of his ideology spread in the streets of New York. And part of his ideology and some of the customs of the 5% nation was standing on your square. So you would see a lot of the 5%ers and even some of the Fruit of Islam, they would have this very defiant stance. That's where the B-boy stand come from, man. Even uprocking, because some of them will try to say, well, the Puerto Ricans started uprocking and we got uprocking from them. Horse crap. Horse crap. Even the uprocking is a part of the 52 blocks self-defense moves, which again comes from the Nation of Gods and Earths. We talked about that in Hidden Colors 5. You doing these fighting moves like a form of martial arts that was created by the 5%ers, really. Well, popularized by the 5%ers, the 52 blocks. So the uprocking comes from that. We have to understand the influence of the Nation of Gods and Earths in the early creation of hip hop. That's why we're doing this film, and we have to tell that story. We have to tell that story. Yeah? You said B-boy stands came from Rikers Island. You got to understand, the brothers in Rikers, many of them were 5%ers. Many, and the 52 blocks, many of those guys who were in prison, because the 52 blocks, that came out of the prisons, but these were 5%ers doing it. Yeah? These were guys who were the 5%ers. Yeah? Puerto Ricans didn't have nothing to do with that shit. So we got to understand the importance of the gods and earths, the 5% nation, and their influence on hip-hop culture, because the growth was right around the same time. It was going on right around the same time. And that's never really talked about. And when you don't talk about something, you got these people who will try to slip in these other people into the culture as if we were getting stuff from them. You see? See, we got to start checking people. And we got to start, us as foundational Black Americans, making sure that we got to make sure that the narrative is straight. Because family, you got some folks out here. I'm about to play y'all some clips of some tethers. Family, there's a video or a series of videos by these tethers, these Caribbean tethers, who's talking so much crap about foundational Black Americans. I want y'all to hear this stuff. And some of it, I haven't even heard all of it, but I want y'all to listen to this. We are in here heavy right now. All the new people, if you're new to my channel, because it seems like we got a lot of new people in here. If you are new, everybody hit the, press one. Give me a one, press one. If you're new to the channel, if you're new, press one. And if you're new, why don't you hit the subscribe button? Hit that subscribe button right below. And then hit the bell notification so that you will be notified when I go on live. Because I know you like the good game we're chopping up now. And we chop up good game like this on a regular basis all week. So hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit the bell notification. And also everybody retweet this. Everybody here, all 6,000 of you, hit the share button. There's a share button below. Need y'all to hit that share button and put this on your Twitter. Let everybody know that we're doing our thing. Hit this thing and let everybody know on Twitter that we're doing our thing live right now, ladies and gentlemen. Let everybody know. But let me play this clip. Let me play the clip of these damn tethers talking about foundational Black Americans, and they're talking about how we're jealous of them. Family, y'all got to see this and hear it to believe it. They're talking about how jealous we are of them. Let me play this clip. Hold on. Let me get this going for you guys. This is a doozy. This is a doozy, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on. All right. Here we go.
American beef. Do you guys feel like it's a beef? I don't feel like it's no beef, but I do feel like it's beef with your people.
I wouldn't say it's beef, but it's like hate. I wouldn't say no beef because motherfuckers want to be us.
Who?
Definitely
hate. Nah, ain't no beef, man. We all.
Who? Somebody want to be you? Who? Who wants to be you? What? These people start talking delusional. We want to be. Motherfucker want to be us. Be you how? Ma'am, you fled from your homeland and you sitting your ass up over here. Be you how? Hold on.
We all want no peace, man.
Gotcha. So what you feel the beef is, B? Personally.
Ain't no beef. I'm sorry. You can't do that. I'm B, you V. Okay, go ahead. You say B, it sound B. Because you call me B.
Yeah, I call it B. But now, BB, how do you feel
Oh, you talking to me, right?
Yeah, okay. My bad.
Okay, so honestly, I feel like it's not beef, because beef is when two parties are, you feel me, beefing. It's hate, because it's only hate coming from the other side.
So they're saying it's hate coming from us. We don't think about you.
I feel like no hate to Americans. Like, I have a lot of American friends, and I love, you feel me, my American friends. But it's some Americans, like, I don't know if it's because of the fact that y'all, like, the white man, like, basically erased y'all culture. Like, y'all don't really have any culture. And the very fact that Caribbeans, we're, like, we have something, although we're all the same color, we have something that divides us, which is our culture.
Well, okay. Coco, let me stop, because we got to stop some of this stuff. Hold on. What's your culture? Y'all always say, we ain't got no culture, and y'all got all this culture. Then what is it? What is this culture? Notice y'all never go into the culture, what you got. I can go into our culture, the food, the clothing, the music, doorknobs, running water, toilets, electric light bulbs. That's foundational Black American culture. These are just some of the things that we've created. These are just some of the things. Dryers, home security systems. We've created so many household inventions. That's a part of our culture. Fighting for justice is a part of our culture. Knowing our family lineage going back centuries is a part of our culture. Our slang that you guys are trying to use is a part of our culture. What's your culture? What's your culture? And you're trying to literally dress like us. What's your culture? Okay, let me play some more. Let me play some more. Hold on.
I feel like y'all don't like that. Just because we are different, because y'all want us to feel like we all the same, which we are. You feel me? We was all slaves, but at the end of the day, we are different. Like, we have a different cultural background, and y'all don't like that.
What is it? You saying we don't like this cultural background? What is it? We have to know what it is to not like it. What do you have that we don't like? What the hell do you have culturally that we hating on? Was cake, soap, and fleeing? What are you talking about? All right. Hold on.
Some reason. Because every time when we try to show our difference, y'all try.
Okay. America. Okay. Okay. Let me play some more. There's a few clips. Hold on.
How I look at it is, for a lot of the Black people, like our African American, first of all, to have so much to say about other Black people as far as Jamaicans, Haitians, and other Caribbean islands, it's like, y'all have so much to say. Like, for example, back in the day, like, Haitians was dirty, Haitians was this, Haitians was that, Haitians was that, but baby, y'all dirty too. Like, if I'm saying that, we're gonna look at it and look how...
No, we're not. 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 Foundational Black Americans are the least dirty people. We're not dirty at all in any shape, way, form, or fashion. We are some of the cleanest people. In fact, we pride ourselves on being clean, dressing clean, having fresh-ass haircuts, having fresh-ass lineups, having fresh fly edges for the women. We pride ourselves on cleanliness. We are the most clean people ever, so you're not going to go there. We are not dirty by a long shot. Even the poorest foundation of Black Americans aren't dirty. You got to find a homeless person to say that they're dirty. We're not dirty at all. And the people who clown you guys are other Caribbeans. Y'all be clowning each other down in Miami and New York. And if you got clowned for being dirty, well, that's the message. Hey, get your shit together. Don't come over here dirty and filthy. Come over here and step your game up. You probably got roasted as a kid, because you ain't supposed to be running around musty and dirty. So yeah, you probably got clown. Get your shit together. And it's all love. When we say, hey man, you're a little musty, player. Your clothes are a little funky. Man, let me touch you up a little bit. Then you feel a certain way about it. No, that's somebody telling you to step your game up. We do that to each other. We see somebody slipping, another FBA slipping. Hey man, step your shit up, bro. You looking raggedy right now. We're gonna roast you a little bit. Yeah, don't bring your ass around folks funky and musty. That ain't cool. That's not what we do. That's probably why you mad somebody check you for being dusty and musty. Hold on. Y'all bear with me. I'm getting it together. Hold on. Let me play some more. Hold on.
Oh, what it was, baby. Y'all dirty too. Y'all walk around barefoot.
Who? Who? What is she talking about? What foundational Black Americans do you know walk around barefoot? Where? We don't walk around barefoot. I don't know one foundational Black American walk around barefoot. What kind of crack are you on? What is she talking about? None of us walk around barefoot. What the hell is she talking about? Even in the country, Black folks don't, FBAs don't walk around barefoot. These people just be saying anything. But we pride ourselves on our shoe game. We pride ourselves on our shoe game. We don't walk around barefoot. Nowhere. We look at that as we don't walk around our house barefoot. Our house shoes are fly, let alone outside. You are never going to see a foundational Black American walking around outside barefoot. We don't do that at all. We don't, homeless people who are FBA know better, they put some bottles on their feet or something. We don't even walk around our house barefoot, dude. Our shoe game is impeccable. You go to one thing, if we don't have anything, we're going to have our shoe game together. What are you talking about? We don't do barefoot. Ma'am, you can't say anything. That's a projection. You're talking about your folks, ma'am. You're talking about your people. Right? We have designer house shoes, dude. You dig? Dude, we got designer house shoes, dude. You see how comfortable these are? We don't play. You dig? We don't play that when it comes to the shoe game. We don't be running around bare feet and all. No. What are you talking about, ma'am? Nigga, we have $2 in our bank account. Our shoe game is still going to be impeccable. That's the one thing we're going to have looking fly. Yeah? Okay, boy, let me play some more of this. Dude, it's a doozy. It is a doozy. Hold on.
Y'all can't clean y'all meat. Sometimes y'all can't cook. So it's like, if we gonna compare different things. It's like,
we can't clean our meat. God, hold on. She said we can't clean our meat. Hold, let me play that again. Hold on.
And if we're gonna look at it and look at other Black people as far as Jamaicans, Haitians, and other Caribbean islands, it's like, y'all have so much to say. Like, for example, back in the day, like, Haitians was dirty. Haitians was this. Haitians was that. But baby, y'all dirty too. Like, if I'm saying, if we're going to look at it and look how what it was, baby, y'all dirty too. Y'all walk around barefoot. Y'all can't clean y'all meat. Sometimes y'all can't cook. So it's like, if we're going to compare a different.
We can't clean our meat. What? We can't clean our meat? And woman, this is a woman who comes from, ma'am, they be over there, y'all be over there with flies all over your meat. And, ma'am, y'all be over there with flies and bugs and insects all over your meat, all out in the open. Really? We clean our meat. We don't eat dirty, unclean food. Lord, okay, the temerity. The temerity for me. Hold on. Let me play some more.
Things, it's like, really what y'all mad about, like V said, like, y'all just don't have no roots. Y'all don't have no history, for real. Yeah. The only history that y'all really have is we were slaves and somebody, you know, fixed it for us, and then we back here. I mean, the only history that I really could say y'all physically probably have was probably the time when Martin Luther King and them was here. Because I feel like they did, like, you know, a lot more as far as the black, you know, African-American culture for y'all. But other than that, it's like, y'all really don't have nothing. Like, y'all can't even say, like, y'all really don't have no food. Like, yeah, fried chicken and stuff, but white people eat that. You guys are white and black. Y'all are still Americans. You get what I'm saying? So, only the
What? We ain't got no food. I'm assuming she's Haitian. The Southern food cuisine, that's us. That's all of us. That's us. That's us. Foundational Black Americans. We barbecue, fried chicken, mac and cheese, fried okra, gumbo. We got so many dishes as foundational Black Americans that's revered worldwide. What's your dishes, ma'am? What's your food? Y'all only have a couple of dishes that's basically a part of the culture. That's why they never like to name something. They don't like to name none of this stuff. These people are delusional. They're delusional, family. And then they wonder why we get on their cases. And look at how dusty they look. I hate to have to go there, but they're sitting there looking mad dusty, trying to cosplay as foundational Black Americans while being mad and contemptuous towards foundational Black Americans. Let me play some more. Hold on.
Is that between the African Americans and like Americans that live in the United States is that one's white and one's black. But y'all honestly came from the same roots. Y'all was slaves and y'all was manipulated to feel like y'all was so different, but y'all are just the same as both of them. So I just feel like it's more so like, not even that it's beef, it's just hate. It's just, yeah. Not even hate, it's envy.
It's more like educated people.
Envy of what? Envy of what? Envy of what? Oh, see, they have these little bullshit conversations among each other where nobody can challenge it. Envy of what? Why you fled and you're over here? Envy of what? Okay. Let me play some more. Hold on.
I'll be more educated.
And then I also feel like people just are so just ignorant at that. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Ignorant, yeah.
Okay, let me play another clip. Oh, here, this is one where they claim in hip-hop culture. Here they go with this lie. Hold on.
Our point, but we were like slaves, like how, you know, y'all was on this land.
Yeah, we got our independence.
You know, we kind of did things differently, but...
Wait. We weren't slaves like you were on your land. Yes, you were. Wait, because he keeps saying, well, y'all were slaves. All of the Caribbean islands, you guys were slaves. What are you talking about? Y'all were all slaves on these Caribbean islands. Well, we weren't slaves like y'all were slaves. Well, yes, you were. All right, hold on.
I just feel like if we're going to be black, we need to be black. If we're going to stand behind culture, then stand behind culture. But I don't like that in-between shit. Because like, it was like a lot of people that I knew, even was just posting like, shout out, support, thank you for posting on, you know, Haitian Flag Day. Thank you for posting on Haitian Flag Day, but half of y'all don't even have no respect. Like, I just felt like a lot of them was just like, y'all don't even understand why we're so excited for that day or why we even have pride for that day. Like, many of y'all don't even understand. Y'all just know, okay, that's Haitian Flag Day, but it's more than that. As far as even with, like, Jamaicans and things like that, when their day come, like, that shit is deeper than that because not only that we were black, we was a different culture. So we were definitely discriminated from the T. You get what I'm saying? So if you look at it, like, to be honest, African-Americans is like this. And at a point, we were, all Caribbeans was like this. Because you guys feel like we wasn't from the motherland or y'all American land, that we wasn't the same. But baby, we're black. We was just living in the islands with a nice water at. Where y'all swimming with fucking seaweeds.
No, you're right. My only problem with them, yes, hip-hop is amazing. But everywhere black touches is amazing. Like I said, bachata is amazing. Curry chicken, where y'all be eating, is amazing. You feel me? Dance hall is amazing. You everything know,
it,
that black
it runs deeper than that, though. It, like, we got to go back to, like, a lot of these inventions.
If you want to be honest,
that's in people's homes. Like, a lot of black people started a lot of that shit.
If you want to be honest, though, also, too, like, a lot of the things that you were mentioning that, you know, basically black people invented, if you go look at their heritage, they say just black African-American, but really, a lot of them, like, come on, think about it. The person who discovered Chicago is Haitian American.
Right.
The
person, but they forget to mention that. They would say just.
Well, the thing is, the brother DeSable, they say he may have come from Haiti, and that's been the narrative for a long time. Some people say he might have even came from French St. Louis, because there are actually no actual documents of him coming from Haiti. And when you start really looking at it, some people say he might have came out of French St. Louis, the St. Louis area. But people just assume that he came from Haiti because his last name was French. But I digress. Hold on.
And honestly, it's more to it because Louisiana, I was.
Oh, hold on. Where's that part where they're talking about hip hop? That's the part I want to. Hold on.
It's, no, baby. Half of the people that's even in hip hop culture came from a Caribbean island. Yeah. Let's talk about it. Because if you go back into their roots, baby, the you guys.
The person who discovered hip hop was Caribbean. And that's the point.
And this is another thing that I also want people to understand. Like, first of all, African American is African American, right? Correct? But baby, y'all black people that go so hard for America, y'all not even from here.
What the hell? Where are we from? Where are we from?
Let's talk about it. You guys are Caribbeans damn near. Like
no, what? We're Caribbeans damn near. What the hell does that mean? How are we not from here? My family goes back here hundreds of years, centuries. How are we not from here? We can trace our great, 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 great parents, great grandparents. We can trace them by name. You the one who can't do that. You the one who probably don't even have a damn birth certificate. You can't trace none of your direct descendants. You can't do that, ma'am. We know where we're from. Hold on. See, they like to do a lot of projecting. They love doing a lot of projecting, ma'am. Hold on. Play some more.
You guys are from a whole other continent.
Or a different continent, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We came from Africa, so you're not even original here. So if anything, you're an immigrant as much as we are.
And oh, Lord, please. No. What kind of reach is that? No, we're not. We're not immigrants like you. No, everybody wants to try to put us and make us equivalent to them. No, we're foundational. We are nobody's immigrants. See, this is this ignorant-ass nonsense they start talking when they get among themselves. And then when they try to come to us with it, they get the shit clowned out of them. Hold on.
What get me so mad is that when we complain about America, and you know, because America ain't shit.
But why are you here? Why are you here, ma'am?
Yes, go back home. Baby, you need to go back home.
Not your native land.
You get what I'm saying? Like,
yes, we are. Yes, we are. This is our home.
And that's another thing that I feel like is a problem. Like, you guys are so, like you said earlier, brainwashed by the white men. You guys don't even know where y'all from.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah, we do. Here. We're from here.
That's why a lot of y'all are upset, because y'all really don't have no culture.
Yep.
But if y'all will really sit there and understand, go back 10 generations from your family. I kid you not. That motherfucker wasn't here.
Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Yes. I can go back 10 generations and my family is right here. I can go back further than that. Yes, people are projecting their stuff on us. I can definitely go back 10 generations and my family is right here. You can't, ma'am. You don't even know your birth certificate. You don't even know what day you were born. Boy, that's a lot of projection. Let me play the last clip. Let me play the last clip here. Just one more clip. Boy, they got a lot of nerve, man. Boy, these people got a lot of damn nerve. Hold on. All right, last clip.
African-Americans out there, I love black people. I just don't love niggas. Another thing, too,
That sounds like a white supremacist talk like that, but go ahead.
I gotta say, too,
it's a big difference.
And the reason why I don't, because y'all fight over places that's rented. First of all, like, y'all be shooting over places that y'all don't even own.
Damn.
Yeah? Really? Wait a minute. This is a Caribbean dude with these corrupt Caribbean nations where they be slicing each other up on a regular basis. The little drug cartels be killing each other on a regular basis while the Asians and the Arabs and the East Indians over there running the business sector in their homelands. And they got the nerve to talk about black folks killing each other and some of the black people over here killing each other, most of them, or many of them, I won't say most, but many of them are tethers like him. You dig? Many of the people who come over here and commit all these crimes are tethers like him, if we want to go there. But I digress. Let me play some more. Hold on. Hold on.
That's insane. Not only that, too. I look just like y'all. I'm not even safe in my own like people neighborhood. Yeah, but if a white person goes up there with cameras and film y'all, y'all gotta make them go. Y'all gotta allow them to have access to y'all neighbor.
You're not even safe in your homeland. That's why you fled, dude.
But let a brother go. And the damage y'all gonna do to him. Come on, man.
I
just
wanna say this. I love all my big booty black women that be in the strip club shaving that booty from that dollar, nigga. You feel me?
My bad talk. And see, let's just degenerate talk. See that degenerate talk? I like all my big booty black women. That's that degenerate talk that they want to bring over here and put on us. No. Hold on.
What you were saying, it's just that them doing that, just, you know, making it bad for, like, other black people, you know?
And not to interrupt.
You can't even go to these people's homelands. They got advisory warnings where you can't even go nowhere in their homeland. It's so damn dangerous. Boy, they got a lot of nerve, man. Hold on.
No, we're not speaking for all of y'all. That's the only reason why Caribbeans have bad, our parents have bad, because America portrays y'all to be. Another thing, too, like when y'all be going off of police killings, we majority be shooting ourselves. That's the truth. That's the honest truth. It don't even, they do us, but how can we protect us from police if we don't even protect ourselves from ourselves?
It's coon babble. Coon babble.
That's why, like, honestly, like, the whole Black Lives Matter stuff, like, sorry, not sorry, but I never took that shit serious.
I've been telling folks all along, these tethers, they are the big... I've been from day one. Listen, hold on. From day one, I've been telling people that these tethers, when the Black Lives Matter stuff was happening, they would send tethers like this to undermine it. They know that these tethers feel this way, and they would send them out there as spokespersons to undermine it. They would always do that. I've been telling people that shit for the longest. And now y'all see how these people talk. You understand? They don't give a damn about a black person getting killed. And so when these tethers show up, what did they do? They would go to these protests and they would start twerking and pussy popping and doing all types of weird ass shit. And we start asking questions. We're like, whose man is this? Whose chick is this? We start asking around, who are these people? And nobody would know them. I've been telling y'all this for over a decade. This is why we had so many beefs with a lot of these so-called fake-ass activists that were put in some of these protests. And this is why the FBA movement started popping off so heavy. Because we started asking questions like, hey, man, who is this weird nigga twerking? And all? Who is this dude? Whose dude is this? I don't know. I don't know where it came from. I don't know. Nobody would know these people. These folks would show up and none of the locals knew them. So that was a red flag. I'm like, how come don't nobody know these niggas? Then we started asking questions and we started digging into, say, where's he from? Because it's not common for foundational Black Americans to not know somebody. Part of our culture is knowing who comes around. If somebody comes around, somebody will be able to vouch for him. Hey, who is this dude? Oh, that's Lonnie's cousin. That's Jamel's uncle's aunt's nephew. You know, somebody would know somebody. That's part of our culture. We know people. Nobody would know these niggas. And then we started looking in the background of them. Like, oh, this nigga got a weird last name. Umduge. Oh, okay. So this nigga ain't from here. We start looking at their social media. We see all of these Caribbean flags and Trinidadian flags. That's why nobody knows these niggas. And when we started doing research on them, all of these weirdos showing up to these Black Lives Matter protests with the goofy shit, trying to undermine everybody, the common denominator, they always got these foreign flags. I said, wait, there's something to this. How come all these niggas got foreign flags and they're all weird and they come around us on some goofball shit? Even now, when we talk about reparations and some goofball steps up, we don't need no reparations. Then we start looking into their background. There's a Haitian flag, a Jamaican flag, a Nigerian flag, Oh, okay. So now we peeped the game. This is why we started to say, hey, we need to openly delineate, which is what our brother Claude Anderson has been trying to tell us for the longest. We as Native Black Americans, that's his term. He would use the term Native Black American. We're different. We're a different group. We're different from all of these other groups. We have a more unique lineage. And let me play some more of this clip. Hold on. Let me play some more. Hold on.
I'm like, I understand the, you know, the frustration, the problem, the police mm-hmm. brutality, all that stuff. But how do y'all expect them to hear y'all if y'all killing each other in the hood? Like,
y'all killing each other? Ma'am, and you come from a culture of nothing but open violence?
Then y'all want to say, oh, but the police is killing based off of skin color, da da da. But y'all are killing someone the same skin color as you. That don't make no sense.
Boy, the nerve. Now, ma'am, this is a woman sitting up here talking about a foundation of Black Americans are jealous of them. We're jealous of her. Hold on, let me play some more.
Yeah, that look, make that make sense.
For wearing a different color or for not going to a different neighborhood as you. You got
the same color and y'all killing each other.
You got to check a brother that's coming in driving.
Boy, the nerve. Now this woman is sitting up here with a janky lace front on trying to cosplay as an FBA woman. She's sitting there, her knees are ashy. She got rusty ass knees. Hold on, let me play with the volume down. So hold on. She's sitting there with rusty ass knees, all right, a janky lace front on, a 2004 City Trends dress, and a tacky ass purse that don't even go with the outfit. You understand? Trying to cosplay with them rusty ass knees, talking about foundational Black American culture, dressed like she's about to be in a damn 2002 Nelly video. And you got the nerve to talk about foundational Black Americans. Boy, the temerity. It's the temerity for me, ladies and gentlemen. So this is what these folks do when they get among each other. They get around each other and talk greasy about us. And then get mad when we check them. Yeah, you come over here and get fat as hell and then talk crazy. Knees ashy to be damned. And talking about how we're jealous of you and you're sitting there with the world's ashiest goddamn knees, ma'am. No, ma'am, we're not jealous of you. We're not jealous of you, ma'am. You're sitting there with a musty Wish app dress. No, ma'am, we're not. Nobody's jealous of you, ma'am. We're in here heavy. But listen, let me get up out of here. We've been in here long enough chopping up game. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. Ladies and gentlemen, go get the movie American Maroon. The movie American Maroon, American-Maroon.com. Get the Blu-ray of American Maroon. Phenomenal movie. Get your tickets to join me at the Hidden History Museum. This Saturday, we're having a great Juneteenth event. That's our culture. That is our culture, Juneteenth. That's one part of our culture. We have so many things that's a part of foundational Black American culture. And you're going to learn more about foundational Black American culture by coming to the Hidden History Museum this weekend to the Juneteenth event. Go to HiddenHistoryMuseum.com, complimentary barbecue, which is part of foundational Black American culture. We got great comedians, great music. It's going to be a great vibe, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, y'all, that's been it. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Papi Akute and Lola Vuve to the family. Y'all be good.